over here. Why don't one of you guys come up and share what's been going on there? Because your Instagram has been going off. I know you guys have been doing a lot, and I see it all the time. So someone come share. We want to hear about it.
We bless you guys. We hope that God keeps doing amazing things over there. And we're just going to jump right into the Word. We're going to start with just kind of reminding ourselves of what Pastor's been speaking on. So I don't know if you guys have been here Sunday services, but he's been speaking on the Holy Spirit. And he first spoke on who the Holy Spirit is, and then he spoke on how we regenerate ourselves in the Holy Spirit. Today we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, our sanctifier. So we bought this board a year ago. We used it twice. We got to start. Well, we used it last week, reminding me that we have a board. We're going to use it more this week. All right, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 4:7. And this will just be a quick verse, just to kind of give us a foundation. It says, "For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life." We're called to live a pure and holy life. God commands it because we are His image on earth. We represent Him. So after salvation, God begins this process called sanctification. And this process gets the world out of us, right? So God first saved us. He got us out of the world. And then sanctification gets the world or purifies our soul so that we are a good representative of who He is and of the kingdom He's trying to establish here on earth. Now, before we begin to talk about sanctification, we're going to set some ground rules. I think this is the one that was good. Negative. This one was good. All right. Now, I just mentioned that first you get saved, then you get sanctified. It doesn't work the other way around. So, we're going to do a little verses, you know, salvation, right? Versus sanctification. Now, let's see. Salvation, it's instant. The moment you recognize that you need salvation, right? And you believe in God, and you, what does the Bible say? It says you confess with your mouth, you become saved. In that moment, it's boom, right away, right? So we'll put instant for that. Yeah. They had me take No, the back one's permanent. The blue one shot. Now, sanctification, yeah, sorry guys, I'll get a better pen next time. This is a little rough. Sanctification is gradual. So this is a process, right? And it's important to understand the two, because a lot of believers, they get saved, you know, and then they think that sanctification and salvation happens together. And in one sense, it does. When you're saved, you're sanctified in Christ, but your soul needs sanctification here on earth. And we kind of forget about this side. So another thing is, salvation requires faith, right? So we'll put faith here. And then sanctification, a little different, it requires yielding. And this is where the Holy Spirit comes in. We have to yield to the Holy Spirit. Now, salvation, it's final. Once it's done, it's done. And I know everyone here has definitely heard the story of the crucifixion, right? And there was two guys that were crucified with Jesus, one on his left, one on his right. And one of them, he turned over to Jesus, and And he, in that moment, he shared some words with Jesus, and he was saved simply because he believed in that moment. And Jesus, he turned to him and said, "Today, I will see you in paradise." Now, that right there is one of the best examples in the Bible that salvation doesn't come through works. It's an instant belief of something. That guy did absolutely nothing up to that point to work his way to salvation, right? He didn't have time to go to church, get baptized, right? He definitely didn't. He was hanging on the cross. He was on his way out. So he didn't have time to do anything, right? Simply because he believed in Christ, in that moment, boom, his soul was saved. Now, sanctification, kind of like this gradual growth, is a growth process. Salvation removes the penalty of sin. And sanctification resists the desire to sin. God's desire is for all of us to be saved, right? But God's command is that we all be sanctified. So this is a command. And this is God's desire. Now, not everyone's going to be saved, and we know that. But once you are saved, God commands us to sanctify, to be sanctified. This is to get the world out of us. Or get us out of the world, sorry. And this is to get the world out of us. This changes your eternity, salvation. And sanctification changes your character. And one awesome example in the Old Testament. Wow. Do you guys see this? Man. I'm sorry. yeah. So one awesome example in the Old Testament of a group of people that walk through all this here were the children of Israel. So the children of Israel, they were in Egypt. Their ancestors, they moved there actually through Joseph. Joseph moved to Egypt. He was ruling in Egypt, and they began to populate there, and all the children of Israel began to grow and do their thing in Egypt. After a while, they were enslaved, and they were enslaved for about 400 years, and they cried out to God to be free. And this example is of us before we're saved. We realize that we need God in order to be saved from our situation or from our internal destiny, which was, up to that point, Israel was doomed to be slaves forever. But God had a promise. He had a covenant with them. He said he would bring them back to the promised land. So through that, through salvation, essentially, is God brought Israel out of Egypt using Moses. Now, while they were in the wilderness, I actually went on Google Maps today, and I did a foot walk. So I plugged in Jerusalem as destination, and I put Cairo, Egypt, which is just like the general area. But I wanted to see how long it would take to get there. I said 149 hours. That's like 6 days. This is walking. How long did it actually take Israel to get? And that's the scenic route. Like, if you guys know the map, like, the Google ones, like, they wanted to stick by the ocean and come up instead of coming across. If you come across, it's like 3 days. Israel took 40 years in the desert. And that whole time, God was trying to do something in them. He was trying to do this. And God, he wants to sanctify us for one specific reason, to be able to move us into the promised land, to be, in our sense, be able to work through us here on earth, right? When we're not sanctified, or when we're not working towards sanctification, when we're just simply saved and then we're just kind of floating around, we have a lot of garbage that's still in here that God's not able to work through It's blocking access for the Holy Spirit to speak to you individually and be able to move through your life into other people's lives. Now, where does sanctification come from? Sanctification comes through the Holy Spirit. In John 14, 25 through 26, it says, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you." When you're saved, you believe in what Christ did for you, and you confess with your mouth. In that moment, you're saved. The Holy Spirit enters you and seals you up till the day of your death. From that moment forward, we begin to walk this road of sanctification as believers. And one way you know you're being sanctified or you're moving down this road is when you develop a desire to stop sinning. That's when you know. That's like that flag that pops up when you know that the Holy Spirit's moving in you and he's telling you something that you're doing is wrong. And all of a sudden you generate a desire where like, this is harming me. I need to do something about this. Holy Spirit, how do I take care of this? How do you help me get rid of this part of my life, a bad habit, bad thought life, maybe what you speak, the words that come out of your mouth. Some Bible verses say, from Romans 8, 4, it says, "So that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Romans 8, 13 says, "For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by my Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Sanctification brings our soul to life. We're saved, right? We believed in Christ. We have a new spirit. We have the Spirit of God in us, the Holy Spirit. But now we're trying to sanctify our soul so that we can be effective here on earth. Even the one of the prayers that we pray from the Bible, what Jesus taught his disciples, one of the lines were, "So that your kingdom can come here on earth." How does God's kingdom come to earth? It's through people. And the only way God's kingdom can manifest here on earth is through the believers that are becoming sanctified in order to become a free channel for the kingdom to manifest itself. What does that mean? That means things like healing, right? That means casting out demons, that hearing God's voice for go plant a church here, go start a youth ministry here. Whatever it is, God's plan is infinite, and he's trying to manifest it through every single one of you. Now, the next question is, how do I allow the Holy Spirit to sanctify me? The main way is we abide in him. What does that mean? We seek him. If we try to get our sin out on our own, it'll never work. You will always fail. No matter how hard you try, if you're going to say, "God, I'm going to try to fix this part of myself by myself," you always end up in the loop. You always end up in the same place you were, even if you didn't say a bad word for a week, you know, all of a sudden, boom, you know, you dropped it, you know, and someone pointed it out, or a habit, you know. The other week I shared about something I struggled with, which was pornography, you know, and I struggled and I kept running around in a circle for years because I was trying to fix it on my own. I was giving no room to the Holy Spirit to actually purify my soul, to abide in him, to spend time in him, to know his heart, and through that, I had a new sense of identity. Now, it wasn't me trying to stop it on my own. I knew that all of a sudden, I don't do this because this is not me. And that's because Christ told me who I was. Why? Because I spent time with him. And I began to hear his voice, and he began to tell me that, "Ben, I paid a price for you. You know, I laid my life down for you. You're my son now. I redeemed. There was a price paid for you. These things you're doing, it's not what a king or a queen does in the kingdom of God." Now, like I just mentioned, one thing is prayer. So prayer is it's when we commune with God and we hear his voice. Those are one of the ways that we allow the Holy Spirit to sanctify us. The other thing, and I want to park myself here for a minute, is reading the word. In God's word, I'm going to use an example from the Bible. It's when before the Last Supper, Jesus was with his disciples, and he began washing their feet. And I hope you guys catch this right now. What I'm about to say is that Christ washed the feet of Peter. Peter's first reaction was, Lord, don't wash my feet. You know, he basically was saying, I'm going to wash my own feet. I don't deserve to have my feet washed by you. And Christ, and this is something you have to understand about their culture, like the leader or the servant never had their feet washed by their leader or whatever you want to call it. So this was unheard of, what Christ was doing for Peter. And the interesting thing is that in the Bible, Jesus is described as the Word, right? The Word made flesh. And it's so cool, and this, I hope you guys get this right now, that Jesus, the Word of God, the Bible, and everything that God is outside of that, was washing Peter. He was sanctifying Peter. Spending time in God's Word is what's going to begin to stir you, change things in you, give you a new perspective, a new identity. That is Christ washing your feet. And that's something Peter tried so hard to push away, but he realized that's the only way he could be sanctified. Well, Christ brought that realization to him, but he didn't realize it in the moment, and that's something we need to grasp. Another problem with what we do when it comes to reading the Word is that we visit the Word. We don't live in it. We visit it when it's convenient. So if I got 20 minutes this week, I might flip a chapter, you know? It's when it makes sense for me, you know? We stop by maybe once a month, we read a chapter, we read a book, and that's something we need to change. That's something that's got to change in our lives in order to have something change in us. Instead of visiting the Word, we need to develop a discipline to live in the Word, and it becomes life to us. John 15:4 says, abide in me and I in you, and the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. If you're not plugged into God, there's going to be no growth in you. You need a source. We could try to plug ourselves into anything else but God, and sometimes we do it intentionally, sometimes not intentionally. We try to plug ourselves into social media, into our friend groups, into our families, our careers, our schooling, you know, and we try to get our identity from that. We try to find our healing in that, and that's the wrong thing we're plugging ourselves into. We need to plug ourselves into the branch, into the vine, who is God, and through that, he will pour his life into us, and we'll be able to bear good fruit. Another thing when it comes to allowing the Holy Spirit to sanctify us is we walk in conviction with the Holy Spirit. Conviction is what, not condemnation, when you do something and all of a sudden you're reminded of how much of a screw-up you are. That's the devil talking. That's not of God. Conviction is when you stumble, but the Holy Spirit reminds you who you are and why you shouldn't do this. And there's never that heavy burden, because the burden of God, it's light. And God is always there to remind you that this is not you. Let's turn away from this. Let's do this again. And God's grace is so infinite. And this isn't, like our pastor says, grace doesn't give you a license to sin. But grace should empower you. When you understand it correctly in here, it should empower you to walk in freedom. The fourth thing is we renew our minds. And this is a big one, because the way we think is the way we live. You know, if I think negative, I'm going to live negative. You know, if I have a certain mindset toward Christianity or being a believer, you know, if to me it's a ritual that I just show up to church once a week, maybe I show up to Elevate, you know, and then I just kind of float the rest of the week, that becomes a religion. You know, it's not life at all. Now, we need to change things like that in our minds. Where I don't know if you guys know a lot about how brain and brain thoughts are developed, but in your brain, like when you think a thought, it develops this thing that looks like a tree. It's got like a bunch of like branches and stuff, right? And it's interesting. The Bible says to uproot anything that's not of God, right? And to establish new thoughts. So when we have negative thoughts, these tree branches in our mind, they're really microscopic. We need to begin to think a new way so that those old branches get uprooted, they die, and new branches get grown in there. And through that, we begin to develop a new mindset. And that all comes by spending time with the Holy Spirit, spending time in the Word, spending time in prayer, spending time in community. You know, a healthy community, healthy friends, healthy influences around you. Now, what is some evidence of sanctification? What does sanctification look like when it's starting to happen in your life? Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23 say, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." You know you're being sanctified when you're starting to blossom in these areas, you know? Like, one thing I was reminded by one preacher was like, never, if someone does something, never put them, something negative, never put them down. See where they came from. They could have been a whole lot worse situation the year before, but God is sanctifying their life, right? And he's changing something in them. And he's constantly doing that in every single one of you if you're open to it. And God's constantly trying to develop things in you through his Spirit, things like love, joy, peace. A big one for me was having goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Everybody has a different, some of you come with these gifts just natural. Some things have to be grown, and that's okay. But God, the Holy Spirit is always there in this journey with you and wants to bring up all these fruits in you so that you can serve people in the world. And through that, people are going to see you and they're going to know something real happened in your life, and they're going to want that. All right. Now, we were talking about how the children of Israel, they had a problem walking through the desert for some time. And the main reason, kind of like I just mentioned a little bit earlier, was they weren't yielding, which is what I labeled right here, which you probably can't see. It's like one of those invisible markers. You got to shine a light on it. So this is good, because think about it. After service, I would be like, well, if you want the notes, you got to come up, shine on it, write it down. So you can really get people like that. But here's the thing. The children of Israel, they were making their laps in the desert for 40 years. And the reason they got there was because they didn't yield to what God was trying to do through them. They continued running back to their idols. They continued running back to their old ways. And this is how you see some believers. And I hope this is something that we're not going to establish here, because we're here to walk in freedom. But believers, there's so many believers that they get saved, but they walk no life of sanctification. And God has such a purpose for you. Every single one of you, there's something awesome God wants to do through you here now. He wants to bring the kingdom of heaven down to earth. But he needs, like I said, a vessel that's clean, that's constantly being renewed. And the children of Israel, they never saw the promised land. And you'll never see some of God's amazing manifestations in your life because we don't walk in sanctification. We don't work toward being more like Christ. And Christ wants to manifest himself through you. But we're the roadblock. We're the roadblock. You know, and it's a lot of truth, but end of the day, you look back and your prayer life sucks because you make it suck. Your daily devotional with God sucks because you don't make time for it, not because you don't have time. Trust me, you got plenty of time to manage around. If you don't got time, there's a problem. You know, if you don't got time for Jesus, there's a huge problem that you need to begin shaving certain things off that aren't important. And that's one thing to always keep in prayer is, God, what do you want to eliminate in my life so I can make more room for you? When I make more room for you, kind of like what Oleg spoke the other week, was get the big rocks in there first. Get the important things in there first. Get God. And I heard this one thing from another preacher. He was talking about a guy who used to pray 2 hours a day. He had a busy schedule, and he's like, I pray 2 hours a day because I need God's wisdom to be able to, you know, work this day out and take the right steps. And then all of a sudden, something else came up in his life, another responsibility, and a friend of his is like, how are you going to deal with this? He's like, well, I'm going to start praying 3 hours a day. I need to spend more time in prayer in order to manage this even better. And that's how we should be living. It's not when a bunch of stuff comes in our life, we all of a sudden start pushing God out. With the more stuff that comes in, we need God even more. Because as soon as there's less of God, more of the world, there's less of God in you to work through you. There's less of the power of the Holy Spirit. We just dumb it all down. And that's why the children of Israel were just making laps. And that's why an entire generation never saw the promised land. Because they couldn't give up their idols. They could never submit to the Spirit of God and where he was leading them through. They should have been, even with all the millions of people that came out, they should have been across that desert
And they say about 3 months. You know, there's a lot of people moving really slow. That's fine, but 3 months. Man, 40 years, and that's how we live. You know, God wants to do something in you and through you now. But we're like, we'll worry about it tomorrow. And tomorrow becomes next week. Next week becomes next year. And nothing changes. And God's still like, I want to work through you so bad, but there's this one area that's really blocking my power to move through you, you know? And I'm not trying to guilt trip anybody. I'm in the same boat. Every time God delivers me or irons something out of me, so to speak, there's always that something else, you know? So you've got to constantly be on your toes because we're never perfect till the day we die. God's always trying to work us to perfection, and we're called to walk in perfection, but it's a process, it's a journey. As soon as something gets cleaned out of your life, there's always something else. But that's what, it's like what Paul said about the thorn in his side that nobody really knows what it was. It caused him to constantly be relying on God. And that's where we should be, is constantly relying on God and constantly expecting him and inviting him, yielding to him to sanctify our lives. John 14:23-24 says, Jesus answered and said to them, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home in him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me." If you truly love Christ, you're going to keep his commandment. And what did I write down here? Sanctification is a commandment of God. If you truly love God, if you truly understand what happened here, this should be a natural part of your life. This shouldn't even be a question. And this is something we're trying to strive through, especially in our generation. We don't want to become a generation that's dried out and just spend the next 40, 50 years just wandering around Utica. God has so much he wants to do in Utica. He wants to manifest his kingdom here in Utica through every single one of you. The question is for you, if Christ died for you so the Holy Spirit could live in you, are you willing to die to yourself and be sanctified so the Holy Spirit can live through you? And that's right now, we're going to do one of those repeat back to me thing. If Christ died for me. Louder. It's dead. So the Holy Spirit could live in me. Am I willing to die to myself and be sanctified so the Holy Spirit could live through me? That's a powerful question for you to answer for yourself. You know, I hope, guys, take this question and ask yourself, if Jesus went down from heaven, became human, was stripped naked and hung on a cross so that he can reestablish his relationship with you and give you full dominion over what was taken away here on earth, are you willing to die to yourself daily to make sure that you yield to the Holy Spirit so that he can clean you out and begin to work through you? So let's stand. And as I close in prayer and pray over you and us, ask yourself that question sincerely. It could go in your ear and out your ear, you know, out your brain, whatever. And it might not do anything, and you might not let it do anything. That says a lot about how you're yielding to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's trying to speak something to you right now. He's trying to catch your attention. And he's trying to either redirect your life or take it to another glory. So let's close in prayer. And just ask yourself that question inside as you pray. And if you're willing, if this is something that you want to change in your life, invite the Holy Spirit to begin stirring a desire to be constantly moving in a direction of sanctification. Because there is nothing more glorious than when you've emptied yourself of all the things that are blocking the Holy Spirit from moving in your life. And then from that position, God begins manifesting his power. Man, it's awesome. You get to see people healed, people's lives changed. You get to see God take you to places you've never dreamed of and do things using you. There is nothing like it. Holy Spirit, we just worship you tonight, and we thank you so much for your word. God, we stand on this word, and we believe everything you've written in the Bible, Father, and we want a generation, God, that learns to yield to you and to your Spirit, God, You want to do so much in us, Father. You want to do so much through us, God. But you want to get so much garbage out of us so you can work through us effectively, Father. And God, I pray in this moment that whoever's crying out to you, God, that you just touch them and remind them how much you love them, how much you want to change their lives, how much you want to free them from the things that the world chains us up in. God, we worship you. We thank you. We know, Father, that you're doing a wonderful work in this generation. God, you don't want us wandering for 40 years around Utica streets, God, but you want to clean us out. You want to make us holy. You want to make us pure, and you want to make us effective for your kingdom. God, we worship you, and we thank you. Father, we thank you for your word and for the power of your word. I pray, God, that the truth of your word just lands on everyone's heart and mind, and it begins to stir something in their spirit. It begins to stir a change, a renewing in their mind, God. We thank you, God, for tonight, for the worship team, for your word, God, and for the time of fellowship you've prepared for us, God. We invite you to be in every conversation, God, in every step we take, Father. We thank you so much for what you're doing in this place. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you guys for coming to Elevate. Two quick announcements. First one, for $100 during your spring break, you can go to North Carolina and help rebuild houses for old people. And people that you walk in their bathroom and there's mold in the showers. You can't step on parts of the floor because it's broken through. And they really need help. And so see Ethan over there for $100, March 10th through 16th. You can go to North Carolina and be a part of a mini mission trip. You know, it's not a lot of your time, and it's cheap. I want to go there. The second thing was, so as we're talking about sanctification, one of the things is obviously it hurts sometimes. If you've ever seen gold being refined, the hotter the fire gets, the more it purifies the gold. So don't be afraid of something that hurts as when it's from God. And so I want to invite you guys to, there's a global fast going on right now for the next 40 days, March 1st through April 9th. It's called the Jesus Fast. And there are thousands of people around the world fasting for 40 days. Some are doing partially, some are doing Daniel fasts, vegetables and stuff like that, vegans. Some are doing some, I guess if you're a vegan, you're automatically fasting. No, I'm kidding. Some are doing juice fasts and all like that. If you, even a day, a meal or something, I want to see a generation that is God is raising from inaction. And I want to see people going out there, not just wearing cool t-shirts and we have a coffee at our youth. I want to see the power of God moving through people. And so that's why I want to be a part of this. And I encourage you guys, if you find a day or some time, fasting will help you so much. And it completely crucified that fleshly lust that you have and the Holy Spirit working through. So I invite you to that and then talk to Ethan if you want to go to North Carolina. Thank you for coming to Elevate.